So qualified immunity is a legal protection for officers who have violated the Constitution. The doctrine was first created by the Supreme Court in 1967. So it was just 6 years after people first had the right to sue for constitutional violations. And at the time it was created in 1967, it was described as a good faith defense. So if an officer arrest someone and they believe that the arrest was authorized, but they later find out that they were wrong, but they were acting in good faith, there is this qualified immunity, says the Supreme Court in 1967. But then in 1982, the Supreme Court changed what qualified immunity meant. It no longer had anything to do with officers' good faith. In fact, they could act with bad faith. But the question was whether they violated clearly established law. And this was an objective standard. Again, we're moving from subjective to objective. And the goal was to prevent officers from having to suffer the burdens and distractions of being named in an insubstantial case. If the law wasn't clearly established, they shouldn't have to be deposed. They shouldn't have to go to trial. The case should just be dismissed. Well, the court in 1982 didn't really define what clearly established law means. But as the years have gone on, the court has created a definition for clearly established law that's almost impossible to meet. There has to be a prior court decision from the United States Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals, the appellate court in that jurisdiction, or a consensus of cases across the country that established that what the officer did violated the Constitution. And what the Supreme Court has said is it's not enough that there's a general principle. It's not enough that you have Graham versus Connor saying you can't use, you must only use objectively reasonable force. You have to have a case that has a factual circumstance like the case before you.
Like it or
So we have
identical to it.
nearly identical. I mean, what it's ended up meaning is there have been cases where the distinctions have been minuscule cases where there are plenty of decisions that say, for example, it's unlawful to use excessive force against a person who has surrendered and is not resisting. But what courts are saying is that's not enough. You need to find a prior case where a person is not resisting, where a person has surrendered under nearly identical circumstances in order to clearly establish the law. And it's a nonsensical standard for a lot of different reasons. One being that officers aren't taught about these prior court decisions that clearly establish the law. I mean, the idea is that officers need notice, but officers are on notice of the Graham versus Connor standard. Officers are on notice of the idea that you can't use force against someone who has surrendered. They're not trained about the specific facts of different cases where surrendering people have had force used against them. But that is the standard that the Supreme Court has created. And it actually, my research has shown that it doesn't actually result in the dismissal of that many cases. And when I looked at about 1,200 cases, fewer than 4% were dismissed on qualified immunity grounds. But that's not a sign that qualified immunity doesn't matter. The cases that are dismissed on qualified immunity grounds are the most substantial cases, cases where you've been able to show a constitutional violation, cases where you've gotten over all of the other hurdles that I talk about in the book. And then you get to this final hurdle that you can't find a prior court case with virtually identical facts.